The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth. But no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's 4 weeks from today, November 8th, 4 weeks from today. Early voting coming out on next week, October 20th here in North Carolina. Wherever you are listening, if you're in South Carolina, up in Virginia, over in Missouri, Utah, wherever you happen to be listening, or watching, make sure you know when early voting starts. I'm a day of kind of guy, but early voting here in North Carolina starts October 20th. And of course, the voting day itself, the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, which is always the deal, pegs it to Tuesday, November 8th. We've got a lot to deal with. For those of you that are here in the Wake County area, yes, by next Thursday, October 20th, I'll put out my personal picks. That is my ode to my Chicago roots, which allows me to vote hundreds of times every 2 years, simply because over the last 18 years, I've earned a lot of people's trust here in the area. And so when I put out my voting list, a lot of people just literally print them off and take them to the polls. And I would suggest you do the same. If you're here in Wake County, I will not lead you astray. And if we do disagree here and there, that's fine. That's a beautiful part of America. But I will have that out. I'll put that on Facebook. I also link to that through the webpage. Those are Steve Noble's personal picks. Doesn't have anything to do with directly with any radio station I'm on or any of that stuff. Okay, this is just if you're interested in Steve Noble, my personal picks. I'll make those available, and if you want, just email me. You can send me an email, steve@thestevenobleshow.com. I'll send them to you that way, whatever the case may be. One of the most important things we can do, not only in this election, every election, I don't think the founding fathers, this was their intent, that the judicial branch, whether we're talking about the state level or the federal level, would have as much control and impact as it does on the culture, but it certainly does. There's no denying that. And so our good friend, former Congressman Mark Walker, has been hitting the streets, winthecourts.com, all over North Carolina, to deal with this most important subject. Mark, good to hear from you, buddy. How are you?
Steve, listen, we're glad to be with you. Thanks for doing the great work.
You're welcome, and it's always a pleasure to have you on. I don't know that we can ever really overstate the importance of the courts, can we?
No, we can't, because originally it wasn't the impact that we've seen it really take place in the last couple of decades, because when you look at this, you have to understand, and I know much of your audience may already understand, that the left has used the judicial system to accomplish what they could not get done legislative-wise. That's why it's very important that we cannot bypass or look the other way on six different statewide judicial races that are going to be happening here 4 weeks from today.
Yeah, that's what's so important, and that's what you've been doing on the bus tour. And when you look at winthecourts.com here in North Carolina, you'll see that. You'll see two North Carolina Supreme Court judges that we're supporting, and you're going to see Court of Appeals court judges. We're going to see four of those. And these cannot be overstressed, the importance of these races, particularly at the state legislature level when we talk about kind of the overall strategy here in North Carolina, Mark, as you know, is 3-2-1. We got to add three seats in the House, two seats in the Senate, and we got to take control of the North Carolina State Supreme Court, because otherwise we have a bit of a problem, namely the governor of North Carolina. Do we not?
We do, and I would take it one step further, that even if we have control, and I know everybody's working hard to get it, what we've seen in the past, I'll give you an example. I'll give you two examples. One is voter ID. Even though that passed by the will of the people through the state legislation, signed into law, lawsuits came in and overrode it. The same thing that we've seen with our congressional lines. We would probably have two, maybe three more Republican conservative representatives running right now for the U.S. House. And even though our state legislature, Republican-led, drew the line, Eric Holder and other lawsuits came in, and the North Carolina Supreme Court, which is 4-3 Democrats right now, literally chose grandmasters, two out of them out of Michigan, to come in and override, again, the will of the people and draw their own congressional map. So, yes, it is very important that we get the majority and even a supermajority, but just as important, I think you can make the case, We need to have a Republican-led North Carolina Supreme Court as a backstop that would fend off or ward off any of these lawsuits that come in from these left radical groups, even those that aren't even from our state.
Yeah, and this is, the judicial system, whether we're talking about the Supreme Court, whether we're talking about federal appeals courts, federal superior courts, or anything that happens at the state level, has now become kind of a super legislature. That's the scariest thing about it. I know that our founding fathers would be turning over in their graves with this reality, because that was never meant to be the role of the judiciary. That's why we have elected officials in legislation in the legislatures, because that's supposed to be decisions that we make as the people through our elected representatives, as opposed to just a few people wearing black robes. It's really quite disgusting what's happened. How did you, and the thing I appreciate about what you're doing, Mark, we're talking to Mark Walker, former Congressman Mark Walker, winthecourts.com. You come right out on all six of these positions and you just name names. I mean, these are the people you're supporting. These are the same people I'm supporting. What made you decide to kind of get in here and be that aggressive and just tell everybody this is who you need to vote for?
Well, one of the things I discovered, 6 years in the U.S. House and then running a Senate campaign, is I began to ask even conservative groups, even pastors, places I've spoke a message, preached in Garner, North Carolina, this past Sunday. I will ask, how many can name a single judicial candidate that's running for these offices? And in most cases, Steve, I found that in many of the people couldn't name a single one.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what, that's where whatever energy resources that I may have moving forward, that is something that I felt like was something that we were able to do. And so we launched a website for the first time that is specifically only to deal with the justices. It doesn't take away any of the other races from our Senate candidate on down to support Mr. Budd and all the different state reps. But I wanted to find something or create something where people could go directly to, read the bios, and know exactly who these candidates are. Because we have the two North Carolina Supreme Court candidates, but those candidates that run for Supreme Court often come up from the Court of Appeals.
That's right.
Right now, we have a Republican majority in those Court of Appeals. This would boost that majority and set up things for years to come as we look forward to making sure that we have these courts in place. That's why I felt like there was a need to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point for years to come. That's something everybody needs to realize. When you're getting involved and you educate yourselves and you start voting for the right judges, conservative judges, you're not making a short-term decision. You're making a long-term decision. That's just the reality of where we're at. Mark, I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to former Congressman Mark Walker, winthecourts.com. Winthecourts.com. These six very important races. A little bit about each candidate when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about the upcoming elections 4 weeks from today on a couple of different levels. In the third segment, we're going to talk to my friend Michelle Morrow, who's running for Wake County School Board. We've had just about all the conservative Wake County School Board candidates on. We're going to have them all on again in the next few weeks. And then I'm just prepare yourself for this now. The few days leading up to the election, the day before the election, which is a quiet day for those running. And then November 8th, I'm going to have all kinds of candidates call in. Okay, I'm going to have all kinds of candidates call in just to remind you who the good conservative, right-minded people are out there on the ballot. And then that's between you and the Lord, whether you vote for them or not, but I can't understand why you wouldn't. So I'm going to be doing that a lot in the 2 weeks leading up to the election, okay? So just prepare yourself for it. Steve, you're awfully political. Yeah, sometimes I am, because that's what's required. I have 340 million neighbors, 10.3 million of them here in North Carolina, and I gauge the political realm because I care about my neighbor. I actually love my neighbor. And the political system, government in America at the state level and the local level affects all my neighbors. So how can I not be involved with what affects all my neighbors? And so that's why I engage. That's why my brother, former Congressman Mark Walker, engages as well. And Mark, just again, for all your years of service, not just to the kingdom, in the church world, and the family, but also there in Washington and continuing your service. I just thank you, my friend, and can't honor you enough.
Well, thanks, Steve. It's a privilege. You know, sometimes you have to make tough decisions. It's about the cause, not the attention, and I think people in this arena would testify that that's something that you've been doing for some time, and as always, it's happy to participate in whatever you're doing, and we certainly honor you as well.
Amen and amen. Thanks for that. So before I dive back in here, we're talking about the judges here in North Carolina, winthecourts.com. So you can see for yourself why these six particular candidates should be more than worthy of your vote. Winthecourts.com. It was pretty awesome today. I thought it was just a matter of time. Your friend from Congress, Tulsi Gabbard, coming out and saying, I'm no longer a member of the Democrat Party. What was your reaction to that real quick, Mark? And then we'll jump back in to Win the Courts.
Well, you know what? I have been anticipating with her disenfranchisement, and not only that, the way they've tried to ruin her and attack her, as we see many times on the left, just trying to discredit her. But I texted her a little bit earlier today, encouraged her how proud of I am, not just of her willing to show this courageous step, but the person that she's really grown into becoming. It's amazing. I believe the Lord has really been working in her life. And many times we had discussions. She would come over to toward the Republican set with myself and Trey Gowdy and some others, and we'd have some very interesting conversations about this. And she and I were part of a civil rights pilgrimage tour that we really got to unpack some of this about 3 years ago. So wow. I'm very proud of her, but I also pray for her in the sense I know what in exposing the left for who they are. I know that they're going to treat her. And try to do everything they can. So to your listening audience, certainly keep her in your prayers.
Yeah, amen. Thanks for saying that and remind us of that. So tell us a little bit about, like, how do you decide on these six judges that you've backed here at winthecourts.com? Tell us a little bit about each one of them. And by the way, Mark, would you please extend to them my open invitation for them to call in here and be a part of the show anytime they want? I would be happy to give them the airtime.
You know what? I certainly will. In fact, I'll be intentional about just talking with them. We're for the first time we're having all six of them gathered in Greensboro for an event. We have rented not your normal Republican Country Club place. We're actually renting facilities minority owned here. We've got a lot of community leaders who aren't your typical Republicans that I wanted to get some face time because it's important certainly to get our message and keep our base engaged. But we've got the biggest message of individuals to other places
and
other communities, and that's something that's very important to us.
Yeah, you were jumping in and out a little bit there with your volume, Mark, so I don't know if there's anything you can do to help with that. But, yeah, because that's less, Liberty and Justice for All Banquet, which is coming up on October 18th, which looks awesome. Is that open to the public, Mark? How can people come to that and get to see these folks personally?
We may have limited space. We're
okay.
Full capacity.
Excellent.
But if
that's
they
good.
Want to reach out and send us an email, there's a place to do it on Win the Courts. We wanted this to be a different group, a different people that sometimes have stereotypes of who Republicans are and what
yeah.
we believe.
Yeah,
and
good.
Hearing directly from the justices, I thought it was very important. You know, it's interesting, and I'm not a big advocate of Chris Christie, but my very first week of Congress, he held a breakfast for new members. This is back in January 2015, and he said something I've never forgotten. He said this. He said, it's harder to hate up close.
That's
and
right.
One of the things that we've got to do as believers, as conservatives, is we can't be content just to share each other with what we believe. We've got to get out there in places where there's been a wall that's been built, that we've been caricatured or stereotyped. It is incumbent upon us not for these people to come to us to hear the truth, but try to do our best to get the truth in all of these communities. It's something that I've been committed to, and this is one of the reasons that we wanted to set up this event framed yeah. around that narrative.
That's awesome. That's very encouraging to hear, and I appreciate that, of course. If you can, in just a few words for each, Mark, what is it about these candidates that you really like? We can start with North Carolina Supreme Court candidates. We got Judge Dietz, and then we have Trey Allen. What are just some brief thoughts about your beliefs on these guys?
Well, Judge Dietz is as accomplished as anybody ever who is running for the North Carolina Supreme Court. Wake Forest University, Duke University School of Law, has still woven in everything he's done a huge conservative values. In fact, he's the only candidate on either side that has actually argued before the U.S. Supreme Court and won. I might add. So an incredible guy. Look, when you get the Charlotte Observer talking about the intellectual capacity, you've done pretty well. Trey Allen. Trey Allen is also running for the North Carolina Supreme Court. I got to know Trey. We probably did 40, 50 meetings together. An incredible family man. And check this out. He not only does he have a law degree from UNC Chapel Hill, he served his country in the United States Marine Corps. I've met his family. It's incredible. This is a guy that Paul Newby was backing from the very beginning. He's worked with Paul Newby. So we've got two excellent candidates here that could take us from 4-3 Democrats to 5-2 Republican over Democrats.
Which would be a huge praise to the Lord, and that's something we all need to do our part to make sure that happens. So then the Court of Appeals, we'll start with Judge Michael Stading, and then we'll move through the other three.
Yes. Another veteran, does a great job, lives out in the Charlotte area, has the battle of the blue leftist all day long, but has been unwilling to match. You know, he's a dentist. He's from, I guess did his law degree, if I remember correctly, from Campbell University there in Huey Street, North Carolina native. But also
losing some value.
Well.
Sorry, folks.
He's also serving, I think, the U.S. Attorney's Office as well. Real quick, you got Judge John Tyson. Everybody knows Judge Tyson. He actually served from all the way back to 2001 to 2009.
Can't hear him very well. Mark might be inside. Are you inside the bus or something, Mark? We're having a hard time hearing you.
No, I don't know why
I'm
doing this.
That's all
right. Here. And so, just going through those judicial candidates, and they can get more information certainly on whenthecourts.com there.
And then Donna Stroud, who has been on my list many times, and she's been around the block a few times too in terms of judicial understanding and restraint and conservatism as well, correct?
Yes, she has. And as the Chief Justice, you don't get that without earning the respect of your colleagues.
That's
and
right.
This is somebody that I've got to know, somebody that I would strongly recommend.
Yeah, it's so awesome. So all that information, winthecourts.com. Mark, we'll have you back on, and please extend my invitation to all of them to come on to the show. We want to make sure we do our part to make sure we get all six people elected. This isn't just for the next few years, folks. This goes on for decades. That's the power of the court. Mark Walker, God bless you, brother. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, continuing our conversation with people that are out there actually getting off the sidelines instead of yelling at the TV or at the radio or at the podcast. They actually decide to get on the front lines and run. Michelle Morrow has been a friend for years through homeschooling and also was one that was becoming very politically active, reminds me of my past. And then you get to the point where you're like, okay, I got to do something. So now she's running for the Wake County School Board, District 9. We've talked to Michelle before, but it's great to have her back on. Michelle, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome, and thanks for taking the time to call in. Well, give us a little update on the campaign and what are some of the biggest issues that you're working on. And then before we finish this segment, make sure you tell us how we can help you.
Absolutely. Yep, we have 28 days, so it's in 4 weeks from today. This will be almost over. And really the biggest issues I see are safety and scholastics and the way that things are being spent, parental rights in the classrooms of our children. And, you know, it's really getting heated up. The fact that nearly 50% of our graduating seniors did not pass their proficiency exams in this past spring is startling to most people. And yet this is the path that we've chosen when we choose to put political ideology and racially divisive and, you know, age-inappropriate content into our curriculum rather than basing our academics on reading, writing, and math and science and history. So we need to get back to the basics. We need to focus our kids' time, and we need to focus our resources on training up the next generation to be able to pursue their careers and give back to the communities in which they live.
Yeah, opposed to turning them into progressive activists, which is what the system's been trying to produce for the last 100 years. And if there's any silver lining in the whole COVID mess, it's what began back in Loudoun County, Virginia, is more and more parents waking up to the reality of what is and is not happening in the schools. And I would imagine that, Michelle, is that cutting across political ideology? Do you have people traditionally on the left, Democrat parents, that are like, okay, yeah, this is a problem. It's not just you Republicans being crazy.
Well, I'm hoping that that is the case. However,
yeah.
It seems to be that there's a lot of animosity toward where I stand politically. And I keep telling people, you know, I don't want any politics in the classrooms. I don't think it should have ever been there. So quite honestly, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that anyone should be judged on doing a job according to their political stance, their religion, or their gender. And quite sadly, we see across all areas of our community right now that we're not hiring people or choosing people out of merit. We're choosing people for those very things that 10 years ago it was an HR violation to ask anybody about them. So I'm hoping that that is the case. I definitely know that when we knock on doors, we've knocked on over 40,000 doors by the time this will all be over, and trying to talk with people, because I see this as a months-long job interview. I am asking to work for the people of District 9 and of Wake County, and so I think we need to be accountable, and we need to bring civil conversation and discourse back into this whole political arena. I think I think that hopefully that is happening. We're having some really great discussions. But, you know, a lot of parents don't want to know what's happening because they're so exhausted from what's happening, you know, for over the last 2 years. And I think people were just, you know, everybody's with the economy the way that it is. I think people are really tired of even talking about it or dealing with it. And they want things to go back to just, quote, normal. But really the only way that's going to happen, Steve, is if we get people into these positions that care first and foremost about the education of our kids and protecting their innocence and bringing back civics and true understanding of our role in society.
Yeah, and you can teach all of those things, and you can teach the basics so that our young people are equipped to be able to think, have critical thinking skills. You know, for me, you know, when I'm homeschooling, you know this. Okay, that I'm not in the public school system. I'm in a homeschool that's done through a Christian lens. But you can have, I have had very liberal kids in my classroom before, because I can teach them the facts. And I'm like, listen, you don't deny me my personal opinion on these things. I'm not going to deny you yours. But there are the basic facts that we should be able to agree on, and just civics, for example, how the government's designed to work, how the different branches work, all the different elements of the governmental system. So whether you're from the right or the left, the school is not supposed to be an ideological playground or an ideological camp. It's just supposed to teach our young people how to learn in critical thinking skills. You mentioned, Michelle, safety. I think people, after what we've seen in Uvalde and other things before, I think people are generally not aware of how unsafe largely a lot of our schools are.
You're exactly right. And in 2020, the taxpayers of Wake County paid for an audit from an external source. And the number one recommendation from that audit was to have a student resource officer in every school here in Wake County. We have 197 schools. And at this point, not one elementary school has a funded student resource officer out of the district. There are a couple of schools down in Holly Springs where their city council chose to fund a police officer in the school, but as a whole, the district does not fund any resource officers. And as a matter of fact, if anyone has listened in on many of the school board meetings, our representative Aaron Perret wrote two letters and even contacted several of the school board members, including Superintendent Moore, and told her the General Assembly is earmarking money in order to be able to improve the security in our school systems, but you have to apply for that money. And our school board in Wake County did not even apply for those funds.
Man.
And so that when people know that, they know that that is not a priority with the current school board. And it needs to be. Our schools should be the absolute safest buildings in our entire community, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. And we ship a lot of money across the world to Ukraine to shore them up, but we can't shore up our own schools. And the fact that our elementary schools here in Wake County are not safe based on those standards is disgusting to me. It's really, there's absolutely no excuse for that. This is a unique opportunity, Michelle, for Wake County. It's just for those of you that don't know, the Triangle area of North Carolina is about the number 40. It's the 40th biggest market in America. But we have the 14th biggest school system. This is an enormous school system here. This is a unique opportunity that we have with all these seats up to literally take control of it. Because after this election cycle, Michelle, then they're going to start staggering all these school board seats. So please speak to everybody listening, especially here in Wake County, as to the importance of getting out and voting for conservative candidates like we're talking to Michelle Morrow right now. Michelle4WakeSchools.com. That's the number 4 and 1L. Michelle4WakeSchools.com. But how important is it that we take advantage of this opportunity?
Oh, it's absolutely pivotal. I feel like we have been handed on a silver platter an incredible opportunity. As you said, we are now the largest school district in all of North Carolina. We have surpassed Mecklenburg County with our population. And so the direction that we can take our schools can impact the entire rest of North Carolina. And as you had stated, all 9 seats are up for re-election because of the recent redistricting. So we have 9 solid conservative candidates who all bring something fabulous to the table. So if we can at least get the majority, we can really make some dramatic changes and get back to when in the 1990s, we were one of the top school districts in the entire country.
Wow.
And, you know, in the early 2000s, there was a 2 to 3 year wait list for people to teach in our county. And now we are still short 400 plus teachers. And it's impacting our students, it's impacting the other teachers, it's impacting the educational, you know, accuracy and prowess. And so we have got to, especially the people of faith, we have got to stop believing that we should not be involved in civics. If we want our children to grow up to be, as you said, critically thinking, law-abiding, you know, problem solvers who understand that they were created with a purpose, and the school should be showing them what their gifting is and encouraging them along those lines so that they can give back and they can have careers that are not only prosperous but are also going to be rewarding. And that should be the goal of every school. And I think every parent would agree, regardless of how you vote in the election, everyone wants the absolute best opportunities for our kids and for them to launch into adulthood with hope and being equipped.
Yeah, and if the proof is in the pudding, and it is, that would be everyone, apparently, except for the current school board, at least just about all of them, as well as the bureaucracy, the Wake County Public Schools. Once you get in, Michelle, I just got about a minute. What would be your highest priorities in terms of affecting change in the Wake County school system?
Well, highest priority, first and foremost, is safety in the schools. The second is we've got to go through and look at our budget and determine, what are we spending money on? What have we? Who have we been paying contracts to that is not a directly resulting in positive academic success for students? That needs to be first and foremost. And also just rebuilding the trust that has been broken, quite frankly, between the community and our school board, because that's one of the big issues, too, is we're supposed to be a liaison. Yes. To the community, and that has not happened.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a school board that would actually listen to people. How can people help you, Michelle?
Well, go to my website, sign up, and work a couple hours on one of the election days or early voting would be awesome. MichelleForWakeSchools.com.
MichelleForWakeSchools.com. That's with 1 L and 4, the number 4, MichelleForWakeSchools.com. God bless you, sister. Thank you for your efforts. We're going to continue to support you. We'll have you back on, but thanks for calling, Michelle. We'll talk to you soon. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, and had Ann Graham Lotz and her friend Vicki Bentley in yesterday. That was awesome. What a great hope-filled conversation. Ann lost her husband. The Lord called her husband Danny to come home several years ago. That was suddenly kind of out of the blue. Same thing happened to Vicki Bentley with her husband back in January. So they were the Maranatha Chapel out in California and very big in talking about prophecy, but the point of prophecy is to give us hope. And so that was a great conversation yesterday. Always a blessing, huge blessing to have Ann Graham Lotz in here. She's a good friend personally and a good friend of the show. And she loves coming in and doing my show. We don't get to do it as often as I'd like, but she's obviously a very busy person, internationally known. So if you didn't catch the show yesterday, you can catch it on Facebook or YouTube or grab the podcast. And that will bless you. It's just really encouraging, especially if you've been through a difficult loss. I would really encourage you to listen to that. There's a lot of great hope in yesterday's conversation, so make sure you check that out. And then today, as we talk to our good friend David Fisher, setting a high bar here, David, with this particular passage of Scripture. Great to have you back. But Zechariah 7, 9 through 10 sets a very high bar for all of us in terms of being followers of Jesus Christ. But it's great to have you on. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for your flexibility with yesterday. And let's start in the Word, and then we'll move on. But good to hear from you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. So the scripture, Zechariah, says, "This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor, do not plot evil against each other. So I felt to do something very different today. You know, if the Bible says that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, than any weapon, in other words, out there, and it pierces, divides the soul from the spirit, I thought, let's declare the Word of the Lord over Russia and Ukraine today.
Amen.
And because we're not, this is not a war against flesh and blood. This is against a principality, even though there's evil involved on both sides, I think. The intentions is we need to fight this with the Word of God. And yeah. I just want to say the scripture in a prayer form over Russia and pray for the presidents, Putin and Zelensky, that God would, let's just do that.
Yeah,
Lord, we just declare you're almighty. That we pray that, Lord, you administer truth and justice. Show that you would move on the hearts of Putin and Zelensky and show they would show mercy to one another and compassion to one another, that they would not oppress the widow and cause families to be broken apart and widows to happen and children to be fatherless, Lord, that whether this is a foreign land and this is a poor land, but we declare the word over, Lord, over this land, that there would be no longer evil plotting against one another, that the Spirit of God would come and intervene and intercede into the hearts of each president, and they would lay down their battle, their purpose in causing devastation in each other's land, and they would, I pray you move on their hearts, Lord, in a miraculous way, and we just declare the word of the Lord that's more powerful than anything in their lives today, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, thank you for that. And that's right, that it is spiritual war before it's anything else, and I've had a couple of guys on, a guy that runs a seminary in Lviv, there in Ukraine, and he said, you need to pray for a miracle. This is a spiritual battle way more than it is a physical battle. The physical side is just what we see in the natural. But he pray for a miracle, and oftentimes we're like, oh, yeah, which just kind of gets to the back burner. It's not the front burner on the news, and we forget about it. But as we've seen in the last 48 hours, people are still dying. It's brutal. Both sides need to bow the knee to the Lord, and both sides need to repent and seek peace. And that's what we need to keep praying. I appreciate you bringing that back to the front burner, David, of course, and God bless you. Thank you for that. Of course, another week of the stock markets with a lot of upswings and massive downswings. So what's going on now? It just seems like we're back at an amusement park, up and down and up and down and up and down.
So it was up because of what we talked about last week, what happened in Britain. The Bank of Britain pivoted. They had to intervene and buy British bonds called gilts. And so there's this belief that, hey, if Britain's going to pivot, their central bank, the Fed's central bank, us, we're going to pivot. Now, no Fed's announced anything. There was any alluding of that,
yeah.
But the market said, hey, they're going to pivot. And I think the Fed is going to pivot, but not right now. So that's why we had this rally earlier in the week last week. But then a report came out, a government report, saying unemployment rate came down. It dropped to 3.5%, which is a good thing. This is where good news became bad news for the market, because that means the Fed's going to continue to raise rates because the market's the economy's too hot, and we got to squelch the economy by causing unemployment to go down. So this is such a yo-yo that even the UN came out and demanded in a report all central banks to stop rate hikes and switch to price controls. This is UNITAD from the UN agency dealing with global trade is who set this into motion. So imagine for a moment, everybody hearing our voice, price controls, control oil, set the rate for the dollar, set the rate for all currencies, all stock indexes globally, no more free markets. That's what the UN said. This will solve it. So, obviously, OPEC says no, because Wednesday they did a whopping 2 million barrels per day reduction, which caused oil to jump from $79 to $92. This whole thing with what's going on with Russia and our president announced it as Armageddon. And then on Monday, the Bank of America doubled the size of its bond purchases, and now we see the market rallying again as a result of that. So the yo-yo effect is in effect. Just buckle your seatbelt. Don't have 100% of your money there. It's going to be a yo-yo for a while. It's doing what I thought it would do.
Yeah, when you see that yo-yo turn green for a day, don't get all excited and dive all the way back into the market because we are not at the bottom yet. So you got to be very, very careful with that. Any reports coming out this week, David, that might affect the market?
Tomorrow, the Fed minutes from the last month, the detailed minutes, which will show that they believe they're going to have to aggressively raise rates, which will not be good for the market, probably. But that's probably factored in. But the new CPI number, last month it was 8.3%. They thought it was 48 out of 50 economists thought it was going to be 8.1%. They all were wrong, which I still scratch my head over that. That's what they do for a living.
Yeah.
But the new number is coming out Wednesday. Chief Economic Advisor Mohammed Elron from Allianz, he says it's going to be, the number might come down, but the core inflation is still going to go up. And J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, CEO, said the U.S. is facing a recession the next 6 to 9 months. He said this on Monday. And the market could become disorderly. The S&P could drop another 20% is what Dimon says. So the news is probably not going to be that best of a news. And if it's not tomorrow, it's going to be in the near future. We're going to see reasons why the market will pull back and go up.
Like that gentle adjective that he used, disorderly. That's amusing. Last week on the heels of we did a Full Money Monday, but then on Wednesday, I was bouncing all over the internet because we passed $31 trillion in national debt. I went through 6 or 7 websites on both sides of the aisle and finally got to the Epoch Times. And even then, David, the $31 trillion that we just passed was like the 33rd item on their webpage. And so last Wednesday, I did a whole show on this train wreck. But it's amazing. There was no major announcement. Doesn't seem to a lot of concern. And we've had debt for a while. Is it any different now than when other presidents were in office?
Well, it is different, and here's why. A year ago, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said, quote, "There's no reason to worry about the national debt because interest rates are so low," end quote. Well, that was then, and now the rates have skyrocketed. Let's put this into perspective. The actual rate on a one-year debt instrument that's bought by people, individuals, companies, governments, our own debt called treasuries, a year ago it was 0.25%, the one-year treasury bill. It's now 4%. That's a 16-fold increase to cost of funding our debt. The government has to pay that.
Nice.
You cannot say we're not going to have a debt problem when your debt liability goes up 16-fold in 1 year. That's just insane. I'm going to put one more fact into perspective here, not to beat the horse to death, but simple as this. President Obama racked up the national debt in 8 years, $10 trillion. President Biden's been in office for less than 2 years. He's already spent $10 trillion. The national debt's gone up. Not he's spending it, but the national debt went up $10 trillion in 2 years. What Obama was known for, the big ballooning of debt, he did in 8 years. We factor this into, if we have 6 more years of this, the national debt will be $60 trillion. That's not even factoring in the increase of the interest rate.
Yeah,
to say we're not going to have a financial calamity is just insane. We are headed for a train wreck and a half. I don't want it, but that's where we're going.
Yeah, that's right. Unavoidable. So with gold and silver reacting to all this, David, and people want to get educated, that's the key to all of this. Just real briefly about what gold and silver is doing and how can people get more education on that?
So just when Britain did their flip, their pivot, silver went up 9%, gold went up 4.5%. Imagine if the Fed pivots, which they will. That's why you want to call my company now when the market's undervalued and it makes a big move. Not a get-rich-quick scheme, but diversify. The number, simple, 844-604-2575, 844-604-2575, or landmarkgold.com. There is a train wreck getting ready to happen. Get protected.
Amen. David, thanks, buddy. Great hearing from you as always. I look forward to talking to you next week. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.